Good morning, everyone. It's great and joyful to be in the house of the Lord. I think before I begin my sermon, I would like to admit that I was nervous. I was nervous and I am nervous. And yesterday evening, when I read Pastor Josh's email promoting my sermon, the amount of nervousness went high. Let me read that for you. Maybe some of you have missed reading. So let me read it for you.
Sorry about that.
Well, interestingly, we both were nervous. He was nervous, and I was nervous. Okay, he says, this Sunday, Pastor Farouk brings us a very special message on the parable of the marriage feast from Matthew chapter 22. The parable contains some sober warnings about who can enter into the kingdom of God, but it can be a little confusing. Well, when a pastor says, little confusing, you know that it's not a little one. It's the big one. Yeah. In my young age, I wrote some of the quotes of my own. And one of them is funny, and the other one is serious, but I'm changing it today. Okay, one of my quotes is, men don't cry. If they do, they are louder than women. And the other quote is that every Christian can interpret the parables. And after reading and studying this parable, I think I changed my mind on this quote. Yeah. The parable of Jesus, they are contextual. So it is very hard to understand them. To grasp the full meaning of those parables, we need to have the full understanding of that environment, that culture. And it's very difficult. But it's great. This is how Jesus taught. And I believe this is, they have a wonderful truth of the Bible, the Word of God, and God's character. So, the chapter we've just read from the Bible, Matthew chapter 22, 14 verses, is a parable about the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a wedding banquet, which was organized by the king for his son. And he invited people, and when the feast was ready, those who were invited, they refused to come. He sent the second reminder, they still refused to come. And they not only refused to come, but they mistreated the servants. So the king got angry, and he sent his army, and he killed all those murderers, and sent his servants the third time. But the third time he said, don't go to the ones who were invited. He said, just go to the street, corners, go to the marketplaces, and bring whoever you find, good and bad, both. The wedding hall was filled with the guests. The king came to observe the guests, and he saw there was a man who was not in his wedding garment. And the king said, how did you make it here without the wedding garment? And he was speechless. And the king ordered his servants that he be thrown out in a place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. 90 I should say 100%. 100% commentators believe that the wedding banquet represents the kingdom of God. And this man went in the kingdom of God without wearing his wedding garment. And everybody interprets that the wedding garment represents salvation. So how come the man who was not saved, he was able to enter in that banquet? Now my question is today for you. Is there a slightest probability, even for a few minutes, that somebody can get into the kingdom of heaven without having his wedding garment on? Many of you are gesturing no. But how come this man was there in the wedding? Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for bringing us together to learn your word. Lord, we commit our mind, our hearts, and thoughts that they will not be distracted. Please open our mind and give us a receptive heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this is the parable which I just summarized for you, and the question I posed is, of course, confusing. If somebody cannot get into the kingdom of God without salvation, how did he get in there? But before I proceed on to say anything on this parable, let me say a few things about the Gospel of Matthew. And then we'll proceed. I hope that introduction of this parable will help us understand how this man got in there. Okay, so the Gospel of Matthew is generally known as the Gospel for the Jews. And if you read this Gospel carefully, you will notice that there are some things, there are some mentions in this Gospel which are not found in any other Gospel, in Luke or Mark or the Gospel of John. And for example, take our text today. The second verse begin with Jesus saying, the kingdom of heaven. Well, all the other gospel says the kingdom of God. Does it mean there are two kingdoms? No. There is only one kingdom. Luke says kingdom of God, and Matthew says kingdom of heaven. Because Matthew is a Jew. And as a Jew, you are not supposed to say God. So he's talking to his Jewish fellow, and he doesn't want to offend them. So instead of saying kingdom of God, he keeps saying kingdom of heaven. So this is one of the reasons. Even in our days, Jews, they don't say God. They would say Hashem. And Hashem doesn't have any meaning. It just means the name. So if they want to say God bless you, they wouldn't say God bless you. They would say Hashem bless you. Which means they are saying the name bless you. I'm not sure if you have watched Harry Potter. There is a character whose name is Voldemort. And nobody says his name in the movie because he's too scary. People are scared to pronounce his name. If they want to say Voldemort, they would say, he who must not be named. So that is out of fear, but for Jews, they don't pronounce God's name out of reverence. So much reverence that they just don't say. Even in their books, if you find God, they wouldn't say G-O-D, they would say G-D. So it's out of reverence that they don't they don't say God. And it is interesting also to know that the Gospel of Matthew mentions Jesus as the Son of David, while the Luke mentions Jesus as the Son of Man. And the Gospel of John mentions Jesus as the Son of God, because he's unfolding the deity of Jesus Christ. So there are different teachings on it, but Matthew certainly is the gospel for the Jews in particular, and in general, it's for the whole world. To know that Jesus is not somebody who's accidental. God just thought, oh, okay, now let's send Jesus. So the Gospel of Matthew is proving that Jesus is a God's plan, and he didn't just show up. So let's move on. In Jesus' teaching and preaching, I would like to say that he always focused on teaching about the kingdom of God. I might keep saying kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven, whichever I am saying, it's just one word. His focus has always been on the kingdom of heaven. Let's look at Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. That's the beginning of his ministry. That's when Jesus got baptized and he was in the wilderness and got ready for his earthly ministry. And Matthew chapter 4, verse 23 says, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogue and preaching the gospel of kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God, whichever you would like to say. And when he was preparing to die for the world, for the sins of the world, and at the very same time, he was also preparing his disciples to carry forward his mission to preach the gospel, he told his disciples in Matthew chapter 24, verse 14, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all world for the witness unto nations, and then shall the end come." So Jesus preached and he taught about the kingdom of God. And one of the way he taught and preached was using the parables. And interestingly, Jesus, I think he said about 38 parables about forgiveness, about the mercy, about loving God, about forgiving others. But he said most of his parables were about the kingdom of God. There are 10 parables in the New Testament in four Gospels, which are titled as the kingdom parables. So it is interesting to note that his entire focus was on the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. When he was introducing the gospel, he said, "The gospel of the kingdom of heaven." Let's move on. I will read one more verse for you. So let's begin looking at our parable. Even if you look at the parable, you still see that Jesus intentionally teaching on the kingdom of heaven, not just by using the parable, but the opportunity that he got. It says, "And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parable." Our verse says that Jesus answered, which means somebody must have asked him a question. And interestingly, this is not what the question was. Nobody asked him, "Tell us about the kingdom of God." The question was not about the kingdom of God. The question was, "By what authority are you doing these things? Who gave you the authority?" If you look at chapter 21, verse number 23, that's where the conversation begins. And the Pharisees and the religious leaders, they are asking Jesus, "By what authority are you doing these things?" And in response to that question, Jesus said three parables. And each parable begins with the phrase, "The kingdom of heaven is like." Now, was the question about the kingdom of God? No. So why he would say, instead of answering the question, he would start saying about the kingdom of God? Because his focus is not to defend his position. His passion is to preach the gospel. That's right. If he starts defending his position, 3 years, He would continue to do that, and he would never be able to defend his position. Because we always question. If we are answered one question, we have another question. So his interest is not defending his position. His passion is to preach the gospel. And I believe this is how we should deal with the questions we receive. Sometimes we are asked about Trinity and we start explaining Trinity. What if somebody asks you about Trinity and you start talking about the kingdom of God? Would that man be offended? Jesus took every opportunity to preach about the kingdom of God. Now you remember Nicodemus, John chapter 3. Actually, he came to appreciate Jesus. He said, "Hi, sir, you are the teacher from God. The things you are doing, nobody can do unless God is with him." And Jesus said, "You can't enter into the kingdom of heaven unless you're born again." Now, was that a question? No. Question was not about the kingdom of God, but his passion was the kingdom of God. So every opportunity Jesus had, he would preach about the kingdom of God. Let's move to second verse. Verse number 2. It says, when Jesus opened his mouth and he was started telling the parable, he began by saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like." Now it tells me two things. First, nobody has ever seen the kingdom of heaven. Nobody has. Because it is a heavenly thing. And none of us, none of human being has ever been in heaven to observe the heavenly things. So when Jesus said kingdom is like, that means we don't know. So he's trying to describe something we haven't seen with the things we can comprehend. So this is one thing. And secondly, it tells me that Jesus knows about the kingdom. I think I missed this verse. This is, Jesus said, nobody has ascended up to heaven. So if nobody has ascended in heaven, nobody can explain the kingdom of heaven. Only he can explain the kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven who has been in heaven.
That's right.
And it says, nobody has ascended except the Son who is in the heaven.
That's right.
So when Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like, that means he is from up there.
That's right.
He's from there. So he can describe, you know, in this room, I can claim, I am the only person who can say, living in Pakistan is like. Do you know why? Because I belonged there. I can tell. Only Jesus can say, the kingdom of heaven is like wedding banquet. Because he is from there. He is the king. He built this kingdom. He has established it. So he's. It only fits from his mouth to say, kingdom of heaven is like this. Okay, let's continue. And then he said, the kingdom of heaven is like a wedding banquet. Which means that the kingdom of heaven is like a time of joy and rejoicing, dancing, happy laughter. You know, when it's wedding, nobody cries. Except you're from Asian country. In Asian countries, people do cry on the wedding. When the bride has to leave and live with somebody who she has never seen before, she does cry. They didn't cry a lot because she had never seen me before. I remember she was almost fainting. Her older brother had to lift her and put her in the car. But the kingdom of God is time of rejoicing. When people are happy, marrying and eating and drinking, that's what the kingdom of God is like. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 9, verse 15, he says, "Can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them?" That's the picture of the wedding banquet, because the groom is there, the bride is there. Everybody's happy, and it's a joyful time. It is a time of filling. It is a time of getting satisfied with the food and also with the presence of the King. That is Jesus Christ. Time of rejoicing and time of satisfaction. Our parable proceeds on. The feast is prepared, and the two reminders have been sent. Usually people, most of the commentators, they said it's invitation. I would say it's not invitation. It was a reminder. You don't prepare a feast and then send the invitation. You send the invitation first, and then you prepare your feast. That's how we do in our Asian culture. When we had our wedding feast, the invitations were sent. We knew that 400 people are coming. So we prepared for a feast for those 400 people. And when the feast was ready, the word was sent out. Hey, the food is ready. It's open. Come and eat. And we didn't care who is coming and who's not. The feast is ready, and the invitation has been sent. The first invitation went, and it was ignored. If you read the verse carefully, in verse number 3, it says, "He sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden," which means that were invited, already invited. Invitation had gone out already. Now it's time to let them know, hey, it's ready, come. And in verse number 4, it says, "He sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden." Which are bidden, the invited ones. They should come and eat. And actually, when the second time the king sends the servants, he says, hey, tell them to come, and also tell them my oxen and my fatling animals are slaughtered. Which means, when I read the second invitation reminder, it gives me the taste or smell of the kind of request. The king says, hey, go and beg. Go and beg those people I have prepared. It's not just a reminder, but it's telling them, hey, the delicacies are there. It's to tell the invited ones, hey, the food is delicious. There is attraction attached with the second reminder. Oh, when we knock at the door knocking, we tell people, we give them attraction. Our Spoken Baptist Church, hey, we don't pass the plate. Yeah. It attracts them sometimes. The king has sent the reminder, hey, food is ready. With the second reminder goes the aroma of that fattling cows and oxen which are killed and prepared, but still no response. No response. It's unusual for a king to send a second reminder. I'm not a king, but on my wedding, we didn't send reminders. We didn't care who comes and who stays. But the king, his king is kind and generous and gracious. So he sends second reminder. Do you remember the story of Queen Vashti? She wasn't requested to come in the banquet. She wasn't sent an invitation to be in the banquet. No. The Bible says King Ahasuerus commanded King Vashti to come and present herself before the kings and princes. She refused to come. Once, she didn't get any reminder. She was not reminded. She didn't get any request. King didn't say, hey, go and beg her to come. The king said, okay, you don't want to come? Okay. You're done. She was no more queen. She lost her prestige and she lost her positions. That's how the kings deal. But this king is a very kind and generous king. It's an unusual response from the invited ones. Verse number 5 and 6 says, but they made light of it. They made light of it. Two reminders, and they made light of it. They didn't pay any attention. And in 4 ways, they ignored the reminder. They ignored it, and they had different preferences. Somebody went to his fields, the other went to his business, the other went to maybe other party. So they had their preferences. And there was another group who mistreated the messengers. Who mistreated the messengers. And the fourth ones, they killed them. This made the king angry, and he killed all those murderers and burned their city. Now, the unusual part of the parable starts now. The king sent third reminder. Now, interestingly, this is not a reminder. This is invitation. That's right. Because the invited ones, they already refused to come. They didn't want to come. So the king said, okay, now go to the street corners, go to the marketplaces, and bring everyone you find, good or bad. And soon the wedding hall was filled with the guests. When the wedding hall was filled with the guests, King came to observe the wedding hall. And he found this unusual man. This is an unusual man in the banquet. And there are some things which are really disturbing about this man. And number one is that he doesn't have his wedding garment on. He's not wearing the wedding garment. Now, please pay attention. Notice, the text doesn't say that he was naked. The text doesn't say that he was poorly dressed. It doesn't say that he was wearing inappropriate clothes. And we don't really know if I was a male or female. We don't know. But he was not prepared. It says that he didn't have the wedding garment on. Most of the commentators believe, and I agree with them, that the garment represents salvation. The righteousness of Christ. The garment represents the repentance. Believing in Jesus Christ as a personal Lord and Savior. That's the wedding garment. And if you read the Isaiah chapter 61 verse 10, it says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garment of salvation. So the garment in the Bible represents salvation. And if you look at Job verse 29, chapter 29, verse 14, it says, I put on righteousness and it clothed me. My judgment was a robe and a diadem. And the second unusual thing is that even though he doesn't have the wedding garment on, he is in the wedding banquet. Now, my question, which I began with, is there a slight possibility that somebody can get into the kingdom of God without being saved? Now, this guy was in the banquet. We can't say no. Is there slight probability that somebody can get into the kingdom without having wedding garment? Well, Jesus said he was in the wedding. At least until the king came. When the king came, he realized and he kicked him out. If king had delayed few days, few months, he would still be in the kingdom. So how did he get there? Ooh, that's confusing. Let's move on. There's one more unusual thing. He is in the banquet, and everybody is wearing the wedding garment, just this one man. And nobody knows about it. You see, during VBS, everybody wears VBS shirt. And if one person, two person, three persons, they are not wearing the VBS shirt, we can identify them. We don't need some deity to come down and tell us, hey, these guys are not wearing VBS shirts. So how come everybody who is wearing the wedding garment doesn't recognize this one single man? And how was he able to cheat the gatekeepers? Why? How did he get there? You know, I was so happy that this man is in the kingdom, because that satisfies my human intellect. It gives me an assurance. My so-and-so cousin can also be there. My uncle, my so-and-so uncle, hasn't been saved. He doesn't have his wedding garment on, but he can be there. I mean, this guy was there, so why not my uncle? I asked everybody this question. Hey, how do you think this man got in? I asked Tahreem, she said, why don't you talk to Ufaz? I talked to Ufaz, and he said, the kid said, okay, we'll talk to our Bible teacher. Next morning, they came back and they said, I asked them. So they said, our teacher doesn't know. Well, what to do? What to do? Yeah, we can do it. Something we can do. We can move on. Okay? Let's move on. Okay, fourth thing is, he's speechless. Isn't this unusual? He's speechless. He is in the wedding, and when king comes and asks him, how come you're here? And he doesn't say anything. Speechless. Why didn't he say, oh, I'm sorry, sir, I forgot my garment at home. Could you please give me one? We are doing these things every day. I enter in the clinic always, almost always without a mask. And I tell them, sorry, I forgot my mask at home. Could you please give me one? Why won't this guy say, I apologize, please give me one? Why he wouldn't say that? If I was that man, I would say, sir, please forgive me. I have made a huge mistake. I have dishonored your banquet, and I have disregarded your commandment, about wearing a wedding garment. Can I have one now? He was silent. He didn't speak anything. And the king had to order his servants to kick him out. And it's not only the unusual man in the banquet, but the king's response is also unusual. In the same parable, we saw that the king is kind, he's generous, he's gracious. Why won't the king say, "Oh, no problem. You forgot your mask at home, we can give you one." Why didn't the king offer him the wedding garment? Why? Is king no more kind? Is king no more gracious? Is king no more generous? Does king doesn't have any more garments with him? What is happening? It's unusual response. It is unusual. And more shocking, unusual king, unusual response from the king. He doesn't judge the gathering by being good or bad. On the basis of good and bad, he doesn't judge his invited ones, the people who are in the wedding hall. He doesn't judge them on the basis of good and bad. All he's looking for is that everybody in the wedding banquet is wearing the garments he has provided. And this tells me that the invitation was enclosed with the garment. You received the invitation, and the servants say, "Hey, okay, now you can have the garment." He could find only one person in the hall who was not with his wedding garment on. He's not separating now people on the basis of good and bad. Now he's separating the people on the basis of the ones who are wearing the wedding garment and the ones who are not wearing the wedding garments. And the previous parable of Jesus is about the fishnet, which gathers all the fish, good and bad, and a fisherman separates them on the basis of good and bad. But in this parable, he doesn't do that. He separates them on the basis of good and bad. Okay. Let's move on. This is the hard, toughest part, as I said. The representation of this unusual man. Now, when you go home and reread this parable, I would suggest you do this. Every person and everything in this parable represents something. For example, the king represents God. The servants represent the prophets and the evangelists. And the people who were invited, they represent Jews. The wedding banquet represents the kingdom of heaven. And this man is in the wedding banquet. Interesting. Now, we all believe that nobody can get into the kingdom of heaven without the wedding garment. That's salvation. And when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, he said, "You cannot enter into the kingdom of God if you're not born again." In verse number 3 and 5, he said, "You cannot see the kingdom of God if you're not born of water and spirit." Now, this man is in the kingdom. How would you resolve this problem? Now, this is how I understand. I am not saying that this is perfect commentary you can find anywhere. This is how I learned this parable. If Jesus cannot contradict himself, then we need to find a place. We need to find a place where good and bad people are gathered, where everybody is wearing the wedding garment, and where somebody is not wearing the wedding garment, and where Jesus is still the king. We need to find a place where the king still hasn't come. Because when the king comes, he's going to kick out those who are not wearing the wedding garment. We need to find a place where the people are not judged by how good and how bad they are. Now think for a minute. Is there a place where we can find all these characteristics? Which place comes to your mind? Somebody whispered church. Do you know this is the place where you are not judged on the basis of good and bad? And do you know that this is the place where some of us are wearing the wedding garment and some of us not? And do you know that this is the place where the king hasn't come yet? Because when he comes, he will kick all those who are not in their wedding garment. And do you know that this is the place where good and bad both can come together and wear the same wedding garment?
Yeah.
And we're still waiting for the king to show up. We are living right now in that place where the king is Jesus. We're coming. We're waiting for his second coming. And the feast is going on. We also need to find a place that has a gathering of good and bad people, that where everybody wears the same dress, wedding garment, where the feast is going on. You may ask, well, we don't feast. We feast every Sunday. I'm not talking about that feast. I'm talking about something spiritual here. Not the Baptist. I'm talking about the feast of our Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the Holy Communion. Isn't that the feast that the Lord has prepared for us? When the king said, hey, come, my oxen and my fattened animals have been slaughtered. For you and I, the only somebody who has been slaughtered is Jesus Christ. And we feed on him every day. We feed on his word. We feed on his blood. We feed on his flesh. He said, if you don't eat me, if you don't drink me, you don't have life. And if you don't have life, you're dragged to the graveyard and buried. That's what happened with that man. He was speechless. And the Bible says, when he comes, every mouth will be shut. Every mouth will be shut when we see him. Now, before I share the applications, I would like to ask, are you in the category of people who are receiving reminders, or you are in the category of people who are receiving the invitation? Now, there are some people who have already received the invitation. They heard the gospel and they received it immediately. They received the invitation and they took the garment and put it on. or you are receiving, you received invitation and you're receiving the reminders again and again. I would like to say, please don't test the kindness and graciousness of the King. He's gracious, but he's at the very same time, he's judge. When he comes, nobody will be able to face him. We would see his face, and those who are wearing the wedding garment, their mouths will be opened with praise and thanksgiving. But those who are not wearing the garment, their mouths will be shut. Which one do you prefer? Opened mouth with praise and thanksgiving, or you prefer to be speechless? The choice is ours. The invitation has gone out, and it is our choice to accept it or reject it. Application. Am I in the banquet with my wedding garments on? You know, person sitting next to you cannot tell if you are wearing your wedding garment on. It's only you can tell, or the King when he comes, he can tell if you have that wedding garment on. The choice is ours. Second one, we are not judged by good, by being good or bad. This is the place where nobody is judged how good or how bad they are. This is the place where we are judged by the wedding garment, if we are wearing it or not. So if you think, if you have even slight doubt that you're not wearing that garment, find somebody, find a pastor, find somebody who you think will have the answer. The wedding garment is attached with the invitation. Whenever the gospel message is preached, it is enclosed with the garment, wedding garment. It is enclosed with the righteousness of Christ. When somebody takes it humbly and accept and receives his gift, that's when he can say confidently, oh yeah, I am wearing that garment. I can say for sure, 100%, I am wearing that garment. Right now, if he comes, if King comes, I wouldn't be worried about anything. I know my mouth will not go shut. My mouth will open, wide open, with praise and thanksgiving. Yeah, so let's bow our heads and think for a minute. Let's silence our heart, mind. Open our ears to listen what God says. The wedding garment that Jesus provides is free. We don't have to pay anything. He has already paid for it. But his desire is to see everybody in his wedding banquet clothed in his righteousness. That cannot be possible with our own efforts. It is not possible with our human goodness and good works. It is only possible with the King who sends the invitation with the wedding garment. Spend some time in thinking and thanking God if you have the garment on, and asking God to show us if we have it on or not. It's the most important thing in our life. It's a matter of life and death. It's a matter of living in the banquet, and it's a matter of being kicked out and spending eternity in a place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. King is gracious, and he wants everybody to save.
I'm going to invite Sister Nancy to play the piano a little bit and encourage you to continue to just take a few moments of quietness here to do business with the Lord. I thank you so much for that message, Pastor Farouk. That is a sober reminder. Listen, if you're here today and you're saved, you're like Pastor Farouk, you could say, I know I'm clothed in the righteousness of Christ. If he comes today, I'm ready to see him. I'm ready to go meet him. Then could I just ask you to remember that what matters is that we're clothed not in our goodness or our badness. We're clothed in Christ's righteousness. If we remember that, Christian, it'll help us the way we interact with other people. That we didn't get into the wedding through our own merits. That we got in because we accepted the invitation and Christ's righteousness over the top of ours. As Pastor Farouk has just powerfully said, if you're here, if you're still trying to be good enough to go to heaven, if you're trying to earn it, you're trying to do it on your merit, you might be good or bad. We could all get together here this morning and agree that you're a pretty good person, and you might be better than me, but that's not what gets you into heaven. Only Christ can do that. Listen, this is a powerful metaphor. If you'd like some help understanding that from the Bible, there are some verses in the Bible that help us to clearly understand this. It is our privilege here. It's the greatest opportunity we have to sit down with somebody and take a Bible and go through it just verse by verse to help you be sure that you're clothed in the righteousness of Christ. If that's you, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I'd like to ask you to stay for lunch. Then grab one of us pastors, grab Brother David, and say, hey, I'd like to be sure. I want to be sure. And we'll take a Bible and help you know for sure. The Lord may have spoke to your heart about something else, or there's a lot in there. Whatever it is, you take it. We're going to sing in just a moment. But please, before we do that, if I could, just as a pastor, just as a Christian, if I could beg you to receive the invitation, I would beg you, please receive the invitation.